with this kind of situation that we think with the department, for instance, where there is a lot of, I mean, the environment and the shifting of funds around. And you know, with the trading industry, it's a very important, what you call it, department. I mean, all of us, we do know. But there are some of the issues, maybe because you're dealing with a big money and that you don't take serious, that we really take serious. And some of them is your role in job creation, in the areas of job creation. In the previous financial year and this year too, we find that those small funds that are related to what you call it, to job creation, for example, are just shifted around. You have a big, what you call it, budget, 6 billion. But if you shift around some funds that would have created a number of jobs, where it is, let's take for instance program 3, né? Empowerment and enterprise development. Yeah, I see that you at least, but I mean, it's a very, what you call it, negligible amount that are there, that are really, I mean, those of us, all the members of parliament, for example, they've got the constituency offices, people, they go to them, we have got this idea, we want to establish this, and when we think that we should be referring people to certain industries, but certain industries is really, it's not an important area for them. It's something that they really shift down on the bottom of their priority, not the priority to trading industry. But I think that we have a priority, as government has a priority, that of job creation, of which trading industry has a role to, what you call it, to play. $43 million was shifted $43 million apparently was shifted from this program to other places, you know. So I think that no, it's not did I say $43 million. No. Enterprise, it's program 6, no? Am I right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, $89 million. It's $89 million. So, yeah, that is being shifted there. Now, to us, I think as we have indicated the importance of this program. So that's why we really thought that maybe if you could come and explain to us why perhaps this is not a priority, or is it a misunderstanding that it's not a priority, but also the expenditure, we don't know whether you're foreseeing an under-expenditure this year. You are at 36% at the end of 6 months. So I was saying, I don't know if you're foreseeing an under expenditure, projecting an under expenditure. So we're really in your hands now, teaching. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, let me first say that in the interest of transparency, transparency. I'm glad that I wasn't tempted last night in the flight to sort out your queries with you in the flight, and that I can come to the proper forum for accounting. I'm accompanied by colleagues, Miss Judith Scholes. She'll indicate by raising her hand. She's the Chief Operating Officer of the department. Ms. Mpho Ramahla, who helps us with our finances, as well as Ms. Cass Webb, also in the budget office, and at the back is Saroj Naidu, the parliamentary officer. Chair, I appreciate the concerns that you have, and I think you are quite right in making the observation that our mandate as a department is, amongst others, to help with job creation through growing the economy and expanding economic opportunities, and therefore, that being the case, I'm not going to spend too much time on our strategic objectives. By the way, let me just say that the presentation that we circulated yesterday was improved a little bit more overnight by contextualizing it with respect to, you know, what our strategic objectives are as a department, as well as how our work is structured. You'll notice that we have eight projects, sort of programs, as a department, but we have clustered our work because none of those projects alone can help us achieve our objectives, strategic objectives. So we've chosen to work in clusters. So there's a cluster responsible for industrial development, a cluster responsible for trade, a cluster responsible for promoting economic participation, a cluster responsible for regulation, and a cluster responsible for administration. To the extent that there are shifts in environments, we try to keep them within the cluster. So you will see that because of the extensive scope of the activities in the economy that we support or that we are promoting and so on, it's actually possible to move funds within a cluster, but to remain focused on the outcomes in the end that we're trying to achieve. And I'll illustrate that as we go along the way. Chair, I thought that it was also important just to give a historical sense of expenditure patterns of the Department of Trade and Industry. And as you will see, that in general terms, historically, we spend our money. Last week I was here reporting to Parliament about our annual report 09-10, and I indicated that our position has always been that with more money we can achieve more as a department, because we do spend our money, and that historical trend line seeks to demonstrate that. I now want to deal with specific areas that have resulted in the under expenditure, Chair, which is at 45%. I think you were generous to us when you said 36%. It's actually 45% under expenditure.
So you're saying you are at 45% now?
Yes.
Not at 36%?
No.
Further left, okay. But our report says
36%.
It's fine.
If the treasurer were here, maybe they'll explain the discrepancy in numbers. But let's account for what the information that we have. One of the largest items responsible for under expenditure is in this area of the automotive investment scheme, which is a scheme to support the development of the automotive sector, which is something which we've been developing over at least the last 3 years in consultation with the industry, which we finalized. It was supposed to have been finalized, in truth, in the last financial year, but the industry requested further engagement on this scheme, and we ultimately ended up launching it in May this year. We having launched it, we had to prepare for the receipt of applications, and we had set the date for receiving applications as the 1st of July 2010. And so as a result, we have not started to disperse any monies. As you will see in the slides that I'm showing, there are applications for 39 entities with 53 projects, which we have received in the last couple of months, up to September 2010. These will be adjudicated in December, and once they are adjudicated, those amounts will be paid out. In the slide at the back, I'll get back to the details. We're talking about an amount of 547 million rand. That's all in the back. The next area is an incentive scheme for the film industry, which incidentally we work together with the department which has just gone before us, Art and Culture, to promote the domestic film industry. But we administer the incentive, the financial incentive to filmmakers. And in this year, we experienced a bit of a challenge as a result of the Soccer World Cup. This is, the scheme supports both foreign films as well as domestic films which are shot here at home. So the event of the 2010 World Cup made it difficult for the product for the shooting of some of the films to be undertaken, and so there's sort of a delay in the rollout of some of the projects that have already been funded. The biggest impact on our expenditure pattern for the period under review, Chair, is as a result of the impact of the recession, where we have seen that the take-up of some of our incentives has been slow. I've indicated some of them there. The industrial innovation for R&D, the IDZ, industrial development zones, the business process outsourcing, which is the call centers that we promote, the small, medium, and development program, which, by the way, is an incentive that we are phasing out. We have residual obligations in regard to applications that have already been approved and so on. But the scheme is being phased out. It's been replaced by the scheme which follows, which is the enterprise investment program. Now, with these schemes, the challenge is often the disjuncture between the year in which you consider an application and approve it, and the time when the firm actually claims, because many of these claims are paid once the investment starts. We don't pay before the investment starts. The investment has to start. And often there are delays in the implementation of the projects that we support. So that then creates that disjuncture. But we are aware that in this year, some of the projects that have been approved may not take off because of the general depressed economic conditions. So those are some of the big ticket items that really have resulted in the slow expenditure. party department. Here is another area which is a challenge, because we have a network of foreign offices, about 42 offices which are located in foreign affairs embassies or international relations and cooperation embassies. We rely on the administrative framework of DECO. Our people incur expenditure abroad, and then the invoices come to us via DECO. Now, what happens often is that those are delayed. In any given period in time, there'll be a 2 months or so delay in receipt of accounts from DECO. I have signed an MOU with my counterpart about how we can process this. And so part of what we are doing would be to pay in advance to DECO, which is then reconciled when the vouchers and the invoices are received from DECO. The next area is in regard to compensation of employees. We're sitting with a vacancy rate of 18%. But the critical area is in regard to the effecting of the inflation linked salary increase, which has just been negotiated recently. Typically supposed to have been implemented in July, it is now being implemented in the course of this month. Foreign emission accounts relate to the allowances that that we pay our people abroad. This is at a high level, Chair. You will see that in July our expenditure was at 1.6 billion. By end of October, it's now at 2.7 billion. Now, just to give a feel, as I have indicated, the main cost drivers for us are the incentives, as you can indicate. As you can see there, we allocate money to and firms and entrepreneurs to undertake particular economic activity. And that creates a dependency on how confident, how bullish they feel about the economic prospects and opportunities as they see them. And I've referred to the fact that right now we are living in we're not in a recession, but economic conditions are a bit subdued, as it were. And the rest is our agencies. We up to the beginning of this financial year, we had 19 agencies. Some of them have been shifted to the Department of Economic Development. So we are still sitting with about 14 or so agencies to which we transfer funds. And the funds are transferred subject to certain conditions being in place. There has to be proper governance, there has to be proper service level agreements and frameworks for accountability. Those are the two cost drivers. I must say, as I leave this slide, indicate that there is also savings that we have been implementing in the department, mainly relating to travel, where we have said domestic travel, everybody should travel economy, and we always looked for the cheapest tickets, also reducing advertising and promotional material, which is as per a directive from the Treasury in regard to how departments can save. So we have embarked on a program of looking for internal savings in our department, which has borne some fruit. you will see that graph is a comparison of our projections for expenditure up to end of October. The actual expenditure as against the money drawn from Treasury. The interesting thing about that slide is to see that the bottom lines, the two bottom lines, the green and red, are very close to each other. And that's the reflection of the fact that every month we make an assessment of what the divisions, the different sections are looking for money for. And the idea is to ensure that we don't draw down money from the Treasury that we are not sure whether it will be spent or not. And so we try to keep close the drawdowns from the Treasury in the actual expenditure, as it were. This is a detail of the graph which we've seen. This is the data that consists of graph. This is up to July, and you'll see that in July we were sitting at a variance of 7% with our available budget being 73%. And then in up to October, that is the indication of the variance there, 5% of the budget. And percentage available budget is 45%, and that's where Chair was saying that, you know, this under expenditure, the figure that we are working on, we're working from this data that is generated internally. So the Treasury, I don't know, maybe there's a big item that we're not seeing from where we're sitting. So it's a pity that they're not here to help us clarify that.
Don't worry.
Okay.
But yeah. If you're presenting, we'll come to that.
Yeah. Here we speak to looking forward, Chair, and you'll see that we think that we are on course to overcome that challenge of under expenditure. There are a number of elements of expenditure that will ensure that, you know, we continue to spend money. They're indicated there. Obviously, what we're saying in this slide is that this is based on our expectations, the information in front of us at the moment. But obviously, looking at the future is always inherently a hazardous exercise because there are risks, and especially in the economic environment, there are risks and uncertainties that may impact. But all things being equal, we think that we are on course, and I want to give you a feel for some of the definite areas that we will deal with for sure in the coming period. You will see that there are two big elements which I've already referred to, the one being the automotive scheme and the months and amounts that we expect to expand are indicated there, all the way up to the end of the current financial year. Then there's infrastructure, which is with major allocations to the Guha Industrial Development Zone, so the East London Development Zone, and the Richards Bay Industrial Development Zone. Expenditure in respect of the SMDP, as I said, is being phased out, but we do have procedural claims in regard to that we need to spend on, as well as allocation to CEDA. This is a small enterprise development agency, which historically, by the way, has not been funded to the full extent of the potential that it has to support enterprises and entrepreneurs to establish businesses and so on. The IDC, an allocation to the IDC for this incentive, as well as export marketing and assistance, which is another important program to our exporters who are looking for markets abroad, where the budget was tight. So we've diverted some funds from some programs to this area. The Centurion Aerospace Village is a project for the advanced manufacturing of products and components for the aerospace industry, linking us into the networks, global network, supply networks for the aerospace industry. Trade and Investment South Africa, this is in respect of our officials abroad, as well as the Bureau of Standards. Now, the Bureau of Standards, one of the problems that we had has been the problem of aging infrastructure, the laboratories that needed to be upgraded, and we're not getting a budget, sufficient budget for that purpose. It's a very important area to capacitate the SABS, because to the extent that the SABS is capacitated, they can better enforce standards, to enhance standards and to protect the integrity of our markets against low quality products that come from overseas or even are manufactured domestically. This area of research, this is the breakdown, the research into chemicals as well as the use of wood waste. That concludes, Chair, at the high level, why we are sitting where we are sitting, and we are indicating to you that we are confident that we will spend the money. I think you were asking some specific questions in regard to the shifting of funds. As I've indicated, Chair, the funds have been shifted from Program 6, which is a program that's responsible for this incentives program to support enterprises. But as a result of the slow take-up, we have relocated the money to areas within industrial development, but that support various aspects of our activities, where we are much more in control and they are dependent on the economic environment. That really is the broad explanation. But there may be specific individual items, Chair, that you'd like us to speak to. I'm happy to do that with the assistance of my colleagues. Let me conclude here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, we are in your hands. We'll start with Honourable Harold Blom. Any other hand this side? Honourable Salt, Honourable Amasaga. Thank you.
Chairperson, the clarity on Program 8, Communication and Marketing. That was 22.15% of its budget that violated. Can we have some clarity on this one? That's Program 8. That's the 22.1% that was there. The Program 7 for Trade and Investment.
Okay.
I want clarity on that one, because it's against the PFMA. But my view is that when your market is down, you must market your product. And this is actually against the way of thinking. Of course, marketing is very important to promote your product. So I just want clarity on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you. Yes, I see that there was an amount of, an additional amount of 4.7 million made available for international operations. I wonder, and then it all goes to compensation of employees, whether the DG can explain to us, you know, what. Why everything goes to compensation of employees? Are they appointing people overseas, or what is the situation there? And the other one is that the 414 million that they're going to spend in Kucha. As far as I understand, it's very quiet there at the moment, and I just want to know what the 414 million will be spent on and whether it will contribute, you know, realistically to livening up the whole area around Kucha. And you know, if they're going to spend 414 million on a smelter, for instance, whether it could be job creation, that's great, that's fine. But I just want to know what that is for. And just to add to what the Honourable Gelderman has asked, and just to get clarity on that with regard to the communication, the Program 8, you know, just I want to know who approved those violence, basically, because as the Honourable Gelderman said, it's against the PFMA.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable.
No, thank you, Chair. I just want to ask the kind of general question first. You mentioned the use the word residual, the residual, you have this sort of residual. I just want to understand the both positive and the negative, what in terms of the residual that you're talking about in the context of this budget. The second question I wanted just to ask is the would you say that DG, that the fact that there is a large amount that has been shifted between within the program but shifted around, would you say it's a planning, management planning issue, or are you saying it's the environment? I'm just not too sure whether you're talking the environment or planning as a tool management issue. I saw somewhere about savings against personnel or vacancies. I was just wondering what your staff establishment, the built-in mechanism in the staff establishment for savings, that is mentioned somewhere under the issue of savings. Then the last one, it's quite, looking at it, I mean, I looked at the kind of environment that the total amount, I mean, in fact, it's linked to the first question. Is it earlier on we heard from the other department the cleaning up, but it was this shift is a cleaning up process. Now I'm wondering, is this the same thing, are we using the same thing in terms of cleaning up next time around, we would be properly aligned in terms of the budgeting? Thanks,
Chair. No, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm coming to this issue of vacancies, because a vacancy is a very important thing, because job needs to be done. And if maybe it's going to be used as a saving method, it doesn't serve the purpose, because we should actually be told how are you addressing this issue of vacancies, instead of in two programs we just move that money to other departments. You've never mentioned how you are addressing this very important issue, because that department can't exist without staff. It will just be left with management and no one doing the job at the bottom. I didn't understand very well when you spoke about the somewhere in your monitoring report there was the projected under expenditure of 6%. How did you come to that one? I don't know. And I'll be very happy to know about this film, foreign films, because when you have an incentive where we think maybe there is a way of addressing job creation and the potential through this film incentive scheme, and you mentioned something about foreign films. What have they got to do with the film incentive scheme? Because I think when it's a film incentive scheme, we think of this new, even if there are projects the feelings that we might not like, but they are the feelings that are developing the potential of our children, and the incentives seem to be directly targeted. But when you mentioned that among the challenges, you mentioned foreign films, how do they come into it? Is it foreign films by foreigners or foreign films by what? Let it just be clear so that we understand why it's a challenge, because we have many aspiring actors in amongst our children.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation, DG. There is a Treasury comment that states the department needs to clarify challenges with regard to the transfer of functions, as it had led to significant understanding in this department. The delay might have a negative influence to the receiving entities on service delivery and to fulfill its obligation. To that, you said there is a slow uptake. What is it that you do so that you are able to promote, to change uptake from slow to fast or growing, right? So that we do not have something like so much, 89 million, which has not been used? Thanks.
Thank you, Mapola. Honorable, okay.
Chair, this is a small really question. In terms of the challenges with regard to payment, I just want to understand, you're talking about advance payment, that you're thinking about advance payment. I'm wondering what the Treasury comment is in relation to the advance payment. What are we, which, where would the interest accrued to in the advance payment? Is it that it's accruing to the receiving entity, or is the mechanism back into the department? I just want to find out about that, and what is their comment around that particular planned payment?
Thank you very much, honorable colleagues. DG, you're saying you and I, we're not on the same wavelength, because we're speaking about 36 comma something spent at the end of September when you are at 45%. Your own, what you call it, presentation now, which is not the further one, the one that you present, the updated one, also what you call allude to this 36.8. Not the treasury one now, your own now. Yeah. So I think there is an agreement around this too, because now it's your own presentation. Where is my papers here now? I think the other worries, DG, is the I'm looking at your projections of the expenditure for the financial beginning of for the new financial year. I see the graph, ne? For the financial year from April, about how you project to be spending. But what I don't understand, or we don't understand, because as a committee, something that we see is, we just corrected this one, slide 11. What we see is as a committee is that now in this new dispensation, we speak about the medium term expenditure framework. So now, unlike in the past, where, for instance, the minister would just present a budget that maybe you didn't even know about it, but now you spoke earlier about transparency. But now, in the interest of transparency, you have got all kinds of structures that lead to the budget being finally, what you call, approved, for instance, or whether you call them the budget forum, where the department is represented, whatever you call them, your intergovernmental, and well, you're not affected by intergovernmental fiscal framework, but on the budget forum, whether you call it 10 by 10, whatever you call them, department is there. But now, what we don't understand is where you know exactly how you want to spend the following year. You start so low, and then it grows. So, why is it? Because now, already by now, there are projections of how much, I think based on baseline, will the department get, for instance, from next year. Now, Honorable Matlakala, you spoke about the issue of planning. Why is it that at the end of March, you have got a very high expenditure. The following month in April, the expenditure is low. Why? What makes that, what you call it? I mean, why do we do that when we know exactly what our plans are? I'm saying it worries. That's the last comment one would like to make. It's related to the foreign, what you call, accounts. I think that we will, what you call, accept your explanation, because even with FICO, we decide if not invite them, because they tell us that, and we accept their explanation, that sometimes there's no control over what is happening in other countries. So we accept what they are saying, but maybe the difficulty is whether there's some work that is being done perhaps to improve the situation for purposes of our own, what you call it, accounting. I don't know, you may comment on that, but let me just allow you to respond.
Thanks, Chair. I will also invite my colleagues to assist me. Let me just deal with the issue around the figure, percentage figure that seems to be causing misunderstanding. I was actually referring to slide 16, where we are actually saying that 45% of expenditure. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know whether you're talking about a percentage expenditure or percentage under expenditure. Yeah. All right. The figure I have in the is in the slide, but maybe my colleagues will help clarify what is the basis for a different figure. But the figure that has been presented to me is that we have spent 45% of our budget after 7 months. That's really the point I was speaking to. Okay, so let me just check if my colleagues can assist, or whether we're understanding this the same way.
Thank you, Chair. I think what happened is, if you look at the slide where we were reflecting our spending as at 31st October 2010, the area which is slightly red or so, it talks back to what we actually requested from National Treasury in terms of our actual drawings. So that was making a comparison of that, hence we came to the 5%. And if you look further more to your right, you will see the available budget, which is currently lying at 55%. Now, if you go to slide 16 is talking back to the actual expenditure, whereas this other slide is talking back to what we still have available. If you add the two together, they will give you 100%.
Now, PG, I'm not sure we're talking past one another. In terms of the adjustment deal, you are required to explain your budget up to the end, as end of 6 months, halfway time, not at the end of October. And that's why we say, as at the end of the 6 months, and even your own, what you call it, presentation, was also making the, I mean, it's also based as at the end of 6 months, as at the end of September. That's why we're saying, so, are you projecting an under expenditure or what? Because I think that is a figure that was signed off between yourselves and National Treasury. And clearly, there's concurrence as far as that figure is concerned. There's no dispute as far as that. Well, we're not, at the end of October, no, we're not really worried about that, but we're worried at the end of 6 months, halfway time. And even, what you call it, even at the end of 7 months, I mean, at the end of 7 months, I see the... now it means that you're left with 5 months now. You're no longer left with what they call 6 months. And all these are related to this question of your projections. And, why are they are leading us to what the committee calls a March spike. And, so we think that because of the understanding of this MTF, everybody knows in the department from the program, everybody knows that this is what they are doing, this is what they intend doing next year. I mean, in terms of plans, in terms of what. So that's the issue that really we'll be talking about. Thanks.
All right. No, thanks, Chair. That's
the. You can go to the next question.
Yeah. the first question was the shift of funds from Program 8 to Program 7. Let me just say that the nature of the activity concerned there is pretty much similar in that this is about promotion. It's about promotion of our exports and promotion of our goods. You will notice that in Program 7 we have a very important activity there that has never really attracted any money from the fiscus, and that's the Proudly South Africa campaign. Proudly South Africa has had its best days, but has been experiencing challenges. And instead of the campaign recruiting more manufacturers and so on, it has kind of gone down. And that the funding model for it was that those companies that join and that had therefore have that mark, Proudly South Africa, they pay a fee. But because they have not been recruiting, and in fact, some companies have been withdrawing from Proudly South Africa, it has had challenges. Now, we are the department that inspired in many ways the creation of this, because it's about buying South African goods. This is in fact a Buy South Africa campaign, like they have in America and other places. We just didn't call it Buy South Africa. So they came back to us and cried out for help. So part of that is to take from marketing, advertising, similar activity to support this thing. And we support it in a revamped way. So we are saying, we are challenging to say, Proudly South Africa, you've got to do more. You've got to do more. You have to also stand for quality. And so going forward, we'll link them with South African Bureau of Standards so that when you have the Proudly South Africa mark, it's also a testimony to quality. So it's a very important and strategic activity from that point of view. TISA, this division that does international promotion of investment and exports, have not grown in terms of capacity to the level that is required by their responsibility. And that responsibility involves the diversification of our trade links, so that we move from dependence on economies in the world that are struggling, like Europe and America. We've got to be refocusing into the emerging dynamic economies, your India, your China. And so they've kind of reached the limits of their capacity, and yet the demand for their services remains valid, and it has to grow going forward. So the transfer in regard to compensation of employees is support to capacity, to better capacitate TISA. With regard to Kuha, the 427 or so to Kuha, I think that is a very good question that we were being asked. With Kuha and all IT sets, we confront today a particular kind of a challenge, and it's a challenge whereby there's a kind of an understanding with Treasury that, look, we've sunk in a lot of money already into all of these IT sets, but to Kuha especially. And of course, that was done under a set of assumptions that does not exist right now. You recall there was going to be an anchor tenant doing aluminium smeltering. But with the electricity crisis, we had to dispense with that. However, which means that the viability of Kuha is going to be dependent on them attracting other investors. Now, there's been the challenge, because investors look at it, attracted to it, but they don't come forward because of infrastructure. So Kuha does not have all of the infrastructure that is going to attract investors. And so the treasury the hand of the treasury has been closing away from Kuha. With regard to this amount, however, this is money that is going to support investors who are already committed. So it's secured investors with the understanding that the infrastructure will come. So this is as opposed to putting in place infrastructure and hoping somebody comes. Here, this is infrastructure somewhat committed investments, and we think this is a model of Kuha to say with a treasury, we agree with the treasury that if these guys can demonstrate that they have investors, that the pipeline of investors, the funding for infrastructure will be released on that basis. That's one part of the challenge of dealing with these IDZs. The other part, obviously, to look at a completely different funding model, which involves the private sector, a greater role for the private sector. But that is the reason for that amount. It's to actually provide infrastructure on the basis of committed investments. I think about three new committed investments, and this will be to build, you know, top structures and other forms of infrastructure. By residual claims, I mean that these SMEDP, like this new successor scheme called Enterprise Investment Program, works on the basis of 3-year payment period. So these payments in regards to projects that are historical, as it were, where we have that obligation, the projects are still under implementation, and therefore the payments have to be done. But also, as we indicated, the fact that the scheme is being phased out, and so we are not taking any more applications in regard to SMEDP, and yet there was a baseline amount that was in our budget, and that's really the, so it's a question of adjusting a scheme that is going out with regard to liabilities and savings that are related to the scheme, and then moving it into a new scheme. Chair, I cannot stand here and deny that part of this is planning. There are planning issues, but I think with regard to the factors that have driven the expenditure up to so far, they have more to do with the environment. But yes, we still have planning challenges in the number of areas. Typically, what you find, we have projects that are scoped and therefore presented for budget through the MTF. When it comes to implementation, typically they start slow. They start low, and I think and this will typically be new projects, ongoing projects. Are fine because we've gained experience and we know in the next year we know what are the weaknesses, what are the challenges, and how to overcome them. But typically, new projects when they start, they do start a bit slow to get all of the pieces in place for the project. So one of the factors is indeed a slow takeoff of projects, and often. I think it's still with its weaknesses in planning. In other words, the ability to anticipate all of the preconditions and prerequisites that you need to have in place for a successful takeoff of projects, and there are various obvious reasons for that. I want to ask my colleague, the chief operating officer, or Chief Financial Officer, to deal with the question around the staffing establishment and the saving part. But let me just say, they'll help me. But there is no deliberate intention not to fill staff, to fill vacancies as a way of saving. Because we have to fill in the vacancies, and we are filling the vacancies as best as we can. Historically, we when I started, we were sitting with a vacancy rate of 25% or so. So we've been working it down. And I think the baseline vacancy rate is much lower than this. I think 6%. The 17% is the additional post that we have created to support particular parts of our programs where we don't have capacity and so on. Mm-hmm. Because as you see, our budget has been growing over time, and with that, the people that do the work also have to increase, and they are increasing. But we are challenged because the skills that we need are not easily available in the marketplace, because we're looking for people with high level of technical skills, economists, engineers, and so on, that are going to help with the execution of the work of the department. And those people often have good jobs in the private sector. And even when we advertise, we don't quite attract them. So the whole HR capacity issues remains the challenge of, of, of the department, but we are working on that. We are, amongst other things, in the new year we'll start a master's degree in industrial economics. It's a new program which we are doing jointly with the University of the Vest University to help us deal with the vacancies. And these the vacancies you'll find are for middle management and upwards, and the professional high-level professional segments of our establishment. Chair, we're not dealing with it with cleaning in the way it was referred to by the other department. No, I don't think so. But having said that, my counterpart Lucija said to me once that your department has got the most complex budget of all departments in government. And I went away to think about this, and that is because, amongst other things, the department has such a wide-ranging mandate over the economy. So just about every single sector of the economy, and within that sector, that there are different activities to support, as it were. That makes up for a complicated budget. So to the extent that there's room, scope for streamlining and consolidation of the budget, we will do so. But those are not the issues that arise in the context of what our discussion for today, Chair. Perhaps on another occasion we can talk about that. Let me deal with foreign films. No, in fact, when we started the film thing, this was after we'd done research, and we'd found that we have a competitive advantage as a location for the shooting of films, but that we were not incentivizing enough these massive foreign productions, which once they come, you know, these are multi-billion dollar productions. They can create jobs and so on, and we have a track record of quite successful films being shot here. So we created this incentive, which has been very, very successful. But we found that we were underserving the domestic film industry, so we revised it. So our scheme supports both large-scale foreign productions that are being shot and local films. And some of the films that we've supported have actually won awards. I mean, you know, we supported Invictus District 69, which is a recent film we supported, but previously Hotel Rwanda, and that film about Khayelitsha. What is that? Somebody from kind of Khayelitsha. So we supported very successful films, very, very successful Carmen of Khayelitsha. So it's a very successful scheme, this one, which creates jobs and the expenditure in the domestic economy. But what we're saying is that the unnecessary expenditure is because during the we didn't foresee that the shooting will be affected by the World Cup events, the shooting of movies, and that's the reason for this low uptake. Now the transfer. There was a question about transfer of functions and slow uptake. No, transfer of functions happened in the previous year, 2009-10, which is when the Department of Economic Development, the new department, was created, and certain functions such as, for example, you know, competition oversight over competition policy, the competition agencies, microfinance and so on were transferred to, so about five or so agencies that were in the department. I don't think that factor is, you know, explains any of the under expenditure, because it was in the year. What it does explain is a reduced budget overall of the department. But let me deal with the question that was linked to that one, which is how do we deal with the slow uptake? That's a very important question which we are grappling with as a department right now. But our messaging to the business community is that we would be very short-sighted if we allow these conditions to lead to lower investment and lower economic activity and even job losses, which is in fact what we are experiencing right now. Because in a global context, we are one of those economies that have got inherent strengths, and that we need to be a bit confident, a bit bullish. So I think that we need an engagement with the business community about how we're going to work with them to overcome the challenges that we confront right now. So I think there's a need for dialogue. And yes, yesterday, Minister, I met manufacturers who account for about 80%. They're complaining about the exchange rate. So it's about what are the policy levers that are there to encourage the private sector to be a lot more confident about the future than they are right now. So I don't quite have a precise answer other than to say that we've got to talk our economy up in government. We've got to talk the economy up and deploy policy signals that can encourage that. And I think on the exchange rate, which is the greatest challenge for investment in productive activities, some of the discussions that are going on in government would help us on the growth path, which is what government is currently putting out there to say we've got a vision in the future for the economy, which is going to require that we work closely with government and all economic stakeholders, including organized labor. I'm going to leave the rest of the questions that I haven't dealt with to my colleagues around the advance payment. Perhaps they can come in there, and I think that should cover most of the questions, but members can indicate if there are any particular questions that we didn't answer or answer satisfactorily.
Well, the team can add, but I thought that you had responded to most of the questions. But maybe it looks like the way a CFO's eyes are saying she wants to embark on the last question you spoke about, and then we conclude. She's alert.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I will be responding to the question around advance payment to DECO. How it's dealt with is that, remember, we have interdepartmental transactions, so it's basically an advance to another national department. So hence, there will be no interest applicable on them. So what will happen basically, as we prepare maybe our interim financial statement, they will be having the other leg or a debit side saying that they owe DTI, and on our side, we're going to have creditors. So when they consolidate the national treasury, the two figures will net off. So there's no interest applicable on them.
Yes, good. I do that good.
Okay. Pichi, do you want to conclude? Any concluding remarks you want to make now?
No, thanks, Chair. Let me just, I thank the opportunity. It was my first time to engage with your committee. I realize that in the new dispensation of the money bills, this is going to be the pattern. I have a sense of the concerns that you have. And let me just say that thank you very much for the engagement and the questions that have been asked. I hope that I have indicated where we are with regard to spending and some of the challenges and the nature of those challenges. But no, thanks very much.
Now, thank you very much, PG, and the team. I think, well, it has been the for the first time as well that we invited trade and industry. We hope that moving forward, at least as a committee that is charged with the responsibility of looking at the spending side of it, I think that you do have an idea of what is it that we will be looking for, which we think that moving forward will also be taken on board in terms of your own, what you call it, planning. It's not that the department is not spending. I think that the department has been spending. However, the South Africa, the Minister of Finance announced that it won the in terms of accountability. What was that?
Open budget.
I think that these are some of the, what you call it, issues that make South Africa at least better than the other countries. But I think overall, I'm sure the committee is happy with the overall, what you call it, response that you gave. But just the last thing that one would like to mention is also as a committee, we have an interest in terms of the savings or the austerity measures that the Treasury speaks about. However, we don't think that they should come at the expense of a service delivery. We don't think so. We think that we must save as much. We do things that if we can do cheaper, it's better. But we shouldn't, what you call, short circuit the service delivery. But as I indicated, that overall we happy. We hope that come what year? We at least will get as well the 7% growth as a country, if it has growth path, all of us get to understand and adopt it as a country. I'm sure we'll get to that 7-8% growth. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. I forgot the most important thing when you asked me, or do I have anything to say? I forgot to say, I ask the committee to please support our adjustments.
No, you're a bit late. But the other question that we didn't respond to, maybe we'll respond ourselves, when are you projecting an understanding? But thank you very much. Now we want to welcome Mr. I think that's what it is. We have asked him over a number of times, who are you in the department? We have not been able to respond to that. But it's not a problem. We will do it for you. We'll do it for you, don't worry. I mean, since you came this morning, you see that the people that we want to account here are accounting officers. We don't want someone else to account just to visit us. You can visit us and sit at the back seat, very fine. But if you're coming here to account, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, there should be a letter. Delegation of powers is allowed,
yeah.
But there should be a letter that says you are acting DG, you will not be here, or DPG will not be here, but they have delegated that responsibility to you. That's one. But two, I think that a number of things that we have said in a space of short time is full of inaccuracies. One, you say you have no adjustment. I don't know if you have really looked at the adjusted the estimated national estimates of national expenditures. I don't know if you have looked at them, but I can assure you have not looked at them. Because if you had, you wouldn't be saying what you say. But lastly, is the your department was one of the departments that responded last week about the invitation. If you say yourself you received it only yesterday, the email, well, I wouldn't have a problem. Because we not deal with we don't deal with individuals from departments. We deal with the departments where the correspondence goes. It's not really our fault. But all we want, we are interested in, is that have you got a response from the department? What are they saying? If they are saying that now they will be coming. In fact, communication was supposed to have come on Friday, am I right? Sorry? They were supposed to have come on Friday. You postpone it today. And you only received it yesterday. I'm saying, that's why I'm saying your statement is full of inaccuracies. I don't want to, as I call it, to engage you on that, to engage more on that. Because in terms of powers and privileges and immunities of the of parliament, we really don't want people to come and tell stories that are not, we regard them as untruth. Because in terms of that, we can really charge you because you're not telling us the truth, and we don't want to people who really come in and don't tell us the truth. So I would like to know, when can we get this department to come here? We do want them to come here. Honourable members, will Friday be all right only just for this department? You're not here. But when can you get them? Tomorrow or Tuesday, next week? Because we want to. No, but on. But the thing is, we need to finalize the report. What is happening, sir, with the acting DG?
The acting deputy director in finance is in Canada at the moment. He left last week.
No, but you didn't get my question. My question is, what is happening with the acting director general? Not the person who's dealing with finance. The acting director general. Those are the people that we want here.
Okay. At the yesterday, he was busy meeting the new minister. So they had a lot of discussions. I'm not sure what they're discussing, but he could not avail himself. And the communication, I myself got an email from Canada. And the email, if I see the letter, is actually addressed to the ex-DG, Ms. Mohlala.
Let's not get there, because we really don't want to get to that kind of engagement. Because I've just told you that we deal with the department, we don't deal with individuals.
Yes.
So we don't want to engage in that area. But we will, inform you. Members, when do we want this department to come? Can we, on Tuesday, no? Well, in fact, I'm informed that on Wednesday, on Wednesday the 17th, I didn't know what to call it. Thank you very much. This is what to call it. It means that by Friday, we must finalize the report. Yeah. Okay, on Thursday? Yeah, on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Do we have a sitting on Thursday?
Tomorrow.
But they may come then after hours. Do we want them to come after hours, or we want to take a few minutes? Can we, as honourable members, agree that on Thursday maybe we'll start with the department for 30 minutes, whatever time that we take with us, and then go to the department, go back to the house. Maybe we request Honorable Mashiach to request permission for us that will join the house late.
This is very young, you must come together on that one. But it's fine. What is your suggestion now on Thursday morning?
Thursday morning is Coca.
The Coca is from Sydney.
No, not Coca.
You know
the activities of Thursday morning.
No, 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 no